begin. All right. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm ready to go. Thank you. All right. So let's settle into our seats, refresh our postures, and just feel into your body for a moment. Make sure that you feel really spacious, tall, very present. Maybe take a few deep breaths in through your nose, out through your mouth. Let yourself land. Let me land. Let's open our space this morning with the sound of three ohms, beginning with a deep inhale.
Phrases of German.
Oh,
that's one of them.
I grew up speaking German. I love German. And actually, I was told by my Sanskrit teacher that when Germans and Russians, for some reason, have a really much easier time learning Sanskrit.
Some half
German people that speak other languages. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, maybe the ancestral lineage will is what's helping you out here. So, we're working on, we're working on the Shiva Tandava Stotram, and who was it here last week? Okay, so let's go ahead and just say the words of the first two lines, and we'll sing the first two lines, and then we'll get into the second two, the second two verses. So say jata, tavi, galajjala, pravaha,
pavitastale,
gale, valambya,
lambitam,
bhujanga,
tunga, malikam,
damad,
Damad.
Ninadavad.
Ninadavad.
Damar. Bayam.
Bayam.
That's interesting. My script didn't translate there. Chakara.
Chanda.
Tandavam.
Tanotu. Tanotu.
Nah. Shiva.
Shiva.
Shivam.
Shivam.
Jata. Kataha.
Kataha.
Sambrahma.
Sambrahma.
Brahman.
Brahman.
Nilimpa.
Nilimpa.
Nirjari.
Nirjari.
Vilola.
Vilola.
Vici.
Vici.
Vallari.
Vallari.
Viraja.
Viraja.
Mana.
Mana.
Mordani.
Mordani.
Dagad.
Dagajvalan.
Lalata. Excuse me, Lalata.
Lalata.
Yeah. Patta.
Patta.
Pavake.
Pavake.
Kishora.
Kishora.
Chandra.
Chandra.
Shekhare.
Shekhare.
Rati.
Rati.
Pratikshanam.
Pratikshanam.
Mama. All right. So I'm just going to give you the overall translation. On this ground, consecrated by the flow of water flowing from the thick forest like locks of hair, and on his neck where the lofty snake is hanging like a garland, and the damaru drum is making the sound damat, 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 damat. Lord Shiva did the auspicious dance of Tandava, and may he shower that prosperity on us all. I am so engaged, so enamored of Lord Shiva, whose head is glorified by the rows of moving waves, whirling waves of the celestial river Ganga, agitating, whirling in the deep well of his hair locks, and who has a brilliant fire flaming on the surface of his forehead, and the crescent moon as a jewel on his head. And we talked last week, what was our story last week? Whoops. I told you, I'm very tired from yesterday. So our stories last week, we talked a little bit about the crescent moon, and, oh, the Ganga, that's right, the origin of the river Ganga. Where am I? Hello. The origin of the river Ganga, yeah. So that was our story for last week. And also kind of the origin of the oceans came in with that, right? So the Ganga River pouring down on his head when it was asked through a yajna, through a great puja, to come down to earth to wash away the sins of someone's ancestors, which we're not going to get back into this week, but it was a very interesting story, and you can go online and listen to it if you'd like to catch up, okay? And I'll give you that link later. So let's go ahead and sing this first two lines, and then we'll get into the second two lines.
Call and response.
Call and response, yes, sir. There you go.
Once again, and then we'll do it all together. Call and response first.
Something that seems to be emerging, and I'll see if it's a pattern. Twice is maybe a coincidence. If it happens three times, then I'll know there's a pattern here. But I'll mention this in a moment. First of all, another disclaimer. So, as I'm translating this stuff, you know, when you look at the Devanagari script, the lines are like there's one big word. On a line, like one line is this one long. There might be a few breaks every once in a while where you know that this is one word. But for the most part, I have to kind of figure out where the words break up. And if you put two syllables together in different ways, like different syllables together, it can mean a completely different thing. So a little disclaimer, I'm kind of fumbling through this as I'm translating, and I'm having to kind of see what seems to fit, because with my limited knowledge of Sanskrit, it's really a learning process for me. So I was going to translate three verses last night. After 3 hours, I'd gotten most of the way through two. And I decided that two verses was going to be where we're at today. So can you say Dhara?
Dhara.
Dharendra.
Dharendra.
Yeah. Nandini.
Nandini.
Vilasa.
Vilasa.
Bandhu.
Bandhu.
Bandhura.
Bandhura.
Yeah. Spurat.
Spurat.
Diganta.
Diganta.
Santati.
Santati.
Pramoda.
Pramoda.
Mana.
Mana.
Manase.
Manase.
Kripa.
Kripa.
Kataksha.
Kataksha.
Dhorani.
Dhorani.
Oh, excuse me. Dhorani.
Dhorani.
The tip of the tongue at the back of the mouth. Niruddha.
Niruddha.
Durdha.
Durdha.
Rapadi.
Rapadi.
That should be a long A there after the R. The font kind of messes up a little bit. The computer doesn't want to read it sometimes, it seems. All right. Kvachit.
Kvachit.
Digambare.
Digambare.
Mano.
Mano.
Vino dameto.
Vino dameto.
Vastuni.
Vastuni.
Vino dameto.
Vino dameto.
Vastuni.
Vastuni.
Yes. Okay. So dhara is to bear or support. And then we have that dhara again, that supporting, that bearing, that holding, right? And Indra is, it kind of refers to Indra, who's the king of the heavens, right? But Indra can be like anything that rules over heaven and earth, okay? So holding the bearer, the ruler of heaven and earth, right? Nandini is another word for Durga.
Hmm.
So, yeah, Nandini is, who knew? Apparently, a lot of people know it, but I didn't know it until today, or until yesterday. Nandini Durga, yeah, is another name for her. Vilasa is being very lively and charming and jovial and happy, right? Bandhu, husband. Bandhura, mischievous. Yeah. So it's kind of speaking of their relationship, right? So this the holder of heaven and earth, you know, the husband of Durga, and their charming, their lively and mischievous kind of relationship. Now this word sporad, it means trembling or quivering. And then Diganta is in a remote distance, santati, uninterrupted. Pramoda is joy and delight. Mana is a dwelling, and manase, within the mind, right? So basically kind of speaking that within the mind of Shiva, who is the holder of all the heavens and earth, together dwelling in a remote place with Durga, the husband of Durga. They're in their joyful, delightful play, trembling with delight, in uninterrupted play.
Durga has a husband?
Durga, yeah, Shiva.
I know, but I always thought Durga always came alone.
Well, not, I guess that's maybe why they're referring to her as Nandini.
Referring to what?
Her as Nandini.
Yeah, As Nandini, okay.
Yeah. Because it's just another name for Durga.
Durga Nandini has a husband named Shiva.
I guess so. I'm just going by what it says here. Because she's referred to again in the last line of this verse. So kripa is compassion. Kataksha is, it's kind of a sideways glance. It's a sideways glance. A compassionate sideways glance. Yes. And then dhorani is to flow. So the flow of his sideways, of his compassionate look, right? And then nirodha. So we know the word nirodha, right? Right. What does that mean?
Restraining,
yeah. So nirodha is containing. To contain. It's to fill up, right? But to contain. And then
such a way that is a kind of restraint.
Yeah, it's kind of a restraint. Absolutely. Absolutely. And what they're speaking of restraining here is durdharapati. So durdhara is something that's difficult to carry.
Like this can get so full.
Well,
like
he just He contains anything that's not, that we can't carry. He can, and anything that's kind of a hell for us to deal with. Difficulties or misfortunes. Apadi is a misfortune. Anything that we can't hold, can't carry ourselves, he contains that for us, basically, is what it's saying. Yeah. And then kvachid is it's a statement of place. So it could be here, it could be there. But I'm thinking it means there in this context. So digambare, so this is an interesting word. Digambari is again another word for Durga. Digambare is naked or sun, sky clad. So naked or sky clad.
Naked or
sky clad.
Sky clad.
Sky clad. You've never heard of sky clad? Come on. No pagans in the room?
Skyfire?
We got no pagans in the room?
The only thing you have on is
sky,
right?
Sky clad means just clothes in the air.
Letting it all hang out.
Letting it all hang out. Right? Mano, manas. What is manas?
Mind.
The mind, yeah, mano, so of the mind. And it's a compound, word, so their minds. Vinodam. Vinodam is their embrace. It's an embrace. Vinodam. Eto is a third person, so his embrace, their embrace, right? Vastuni, abiding in manifestation. And when we say abiding in manifestation, we're not talking about like in something inanimate, vastuni. Vastuni always refers to things that are alive, animate. And actually, everything has some form of animation in this world. So, yeah. So abiding in everything, basically. All right. So may my mind seek happiness in Lord Shiva. In whose mind all the living beings of the glorious universe exist. Who is the sportive? They use sportive, playful companion of Parvati, and here they refer to Nandini as Parvati. But in the translation that came up for Nandini, it was actually Durga, which is interesting. But we're going to talk about Parvati today, who is the daughter of the Mountain King, who controls invincible hardships, so contains those things that we can't hold, right? With the flow of his compassionate look, the kripakataksha. and who is all-pervasive, so that vastuni is all-pervasive, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then jata.
Jata.
Mujanga. Pingala.
Pingala.
Spurat.
Spurat.
What's that word again? Pana.
Pana.
Mani.
Mani.
Prabha.
Prabha.
Kadamba.
Kadamba.
Kung Kumadrava.
Kum kumadrava.
Pralipta.
Pralipta.
Digva.
Digva.
Dhumake.
Dhumake.
Madanda.
Madanda.
Excuse me, Madanda. Madandha.
Madandha.
Yes. Sindhora.
Sindhora.
Sporat.
Sporat.
Where's that word again? Tvagut.
Tvagut.
Tari.
Tari.
Yamedore.
Yamedore.
Mano.
Mano.
Vino.
Vino.
Excuse me. Vinodam.
Vinodam.
Adbhutam.
Adbhutam.
Bibhartu.
Bibhartu.
Bhuta.
Bhuta.
Bhartari.
Bhartari.
Yeah. So jata, we had that way up at the in the first few lines, jata, which is dreadlocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then bhujanga, what's a bhujanga?
Serpent.
Yeah, the cobra. Yeah, absolutely. Now pingala, a lot of us think of that as the nadi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as, I think it's the left nadi, is that correct? Yeah.
I think so.
I think it's the right one.
Is it the right one? I always get them mixed up every time.
Central channel in this one.
Shushumna, pingala, and irida nadis. What also means reddish brown. So maybe it's the right one because red would probably be more of a masculine color. It means reddish brown as well, like a rust color.
I've always heard them listed as ida and pingala, so I sort of assumed pingala was right.
Yeah, left to right. Left and right, yeah. So, yeah, so pingala also means reddish brown. Isn't that interesting?
Rudra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rudra, yeah. Sporat. There's that word, that trembling, quivering.
Trembling.
Yes. Pana.
Pana.
The hood
of the cobra.
Yes. Mani. Manipura. Mani.
Manipura.
What's mani?
Belly.
Stomach.
Ooh.
What is Manipura?
The house of jewels.
Yeah, so what is that money? A pura is a house, what's money?
Jewels.
Yeah, a gemstone or jewel. Yeah, prabha.
Prabha.
So we learned this word prabha with the Ganesha, that beautiful Sri Vakratunda. Yeah. So prabha is brilliance or shining. Yeah. Kadamba.
Kadamba.
Kadamba is a mineral substance that has a shine, a glitter to it, right? Kumkum.
Kumkum.
Adrava.
Adrava.
Yeah. So kumkum. Yeah. It's that reddish powder that you put the dot on your forehead with. And it can be made of saffron, usually. Mm. Yeah. So again, it's kind of a saffron red. Adrava. Now that I had a really hard time with this this particular piece of a word. Adrava. I had to really break it down. Va is anything auspicious. It has many different meanings actually, but the one that seemed to fit better was auspicious. And adra is contained in many different words, and it can mean a substance. So an auspicious substance is what I came up with.
Hmm.
I'm probably way off, but that's as close as I could come. So the kumkum, the auspicious substance of kumkum. Pralipta, sticking to. And digva dhumake.
Digva dhumake.
Yeah. So it's really interesting because digva dhu is can mean the she elephant or the female elephant of the north direction. Hello. but and muke can be a face or a direction. Right. But digva dhu can also mean a number of women who hold the faces of the directions. Yeah. So and that's kind of what the translation pointed to more than the elephant. Although the elephant does show up in the next two lines. So Madandha.
Madandha.
Is actually blind with drunkenness.
The elephant?
Sindhura. Elephant. The elephant that's blind with drunkenness, right?
Well,
Spodat, there's that word again. What's Spodat?
That's a situation I would not
trembling,
want to be in.
Right, yeah. Trembling, Spodat. Tvagut.
Tvagut.
Is an upper garment. Tari. Yamedore.
Yamedore.
Yeah. So, tari is something that belongs to another. And yamedore is smooth. So basically, he's wearing as an upper garment, right? The skin of this elephant, this blind drunk elephant, right? This intoxicated, a huge intoxicated elephant, which if you remember a couple times back when we were doing the story of the sages in the woods who kept throwing things at Shiva and Mohini, right? One of them was this blind drunk intoxicated elephant that he skinned and wore the skin of. And that's what this is referring to, right? So it's really interesting coming into these translations and finding all these different little ways that the meanings insert themselves in other places.
Sounds like the upcoming presidential election.
I know, right?
Ganesha sometimes thought of it as just being a covering.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's true too, yeah. This actually, this one doesn't refer to Ganesha though. Yeah, it's Gajasura. So Gaja is also an elephant.
Yeah.
And Asura we know is a demon, right? So Gajasura also, there's a story where this elephant king, elephant demon, again, did all these great worships and penances and got all kinds of power and started getting drunk on his power. And then he went into a Shiva temple and started creating havoc and slaying the worshippers of Shiva. And Shiva was like, oh, no, you don't. And he went in and cut him in half and then took his skin and wore it as his. Yeah, and they have big depictions of him, of Shiva, with like this elephant skin. He's holding this elephant skin over his head. He's got one foot on the elephant's head and the other foot on his leg. Yeah.
This is what I do to people that mess with me.
That's right. Or my people. Don't mess with my people. So,
Mano.
Vinodam. Again, playing, yeah. Mano is of the mind, so play of the mind. Adbutam.
Adbutam.
I like this word. It means wonderful. Adbutam. Bibhartum.
Bibhartum.
He bears. It's a third person of that same of the word to bear. Bhuta.
Bhuta.
Worshippers. His devotees. Bharatari.
Bharatari.
Protector. So he protects and bears, carries his worshippers. So basically what it's saying is, may I seek wonderful pleasure in Lord Shiva, who is a supporter of all life, who with his snake with the reddish-brown hood and the luster of a gem on it, spreading out colors on the beautiful faces, the saffron colors, on the beautiful faces of the maidens of the directions, and is covered with the glittering upper garment made of the skin of a huge intoxicated elephant. So that's... what I'm going to do, because I'm coming up with what I'm coming up with is just a little bit different than the actual translation that I'm finding, is I'm gonna go ahead and just write out my own full translations of these lines as I'm translating them and see how different it is from what, you know, from this one translation that I found. I've only found one, like, full text translation of the Tandava Stotram. So I'm going to see what I come up with as far as the more prosaic translation.
You know, one thing we did at the beginning of the teacher training program is the groups that were there would then go through book one of the Yoga Sutras and we would arrive at a statement for each of the sutras that made sense to the group.
Nice.
And so that way we could look at all of the variety of commentators and put something that would aid us in recovery.
Right.
That makes sense to us.
Right. And that's what Sanskrit is about too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a very, because it's so holographic and has so many different little nuances of meaning, I think each person that reads a specific word or words in context is going to get something just a little bit different out of it.
But if you don't practice that sutra, then nothing comes from you.
That's right.
As soon as you practice something, it forms you about how to talk about it.
That's right. It takes meditation on it, yeah. So I had to spend some time with each word and really kind of meditate on it and figure out, like, how does this fit? Where does the meaning fit in? What am I drawing out of this?
So that's why it's so appropriate that you come here in the same path of recovery that
mm-hmm.
we are. And so now that speaks a different language and those who are not on that path.
Yeah.
Don't realize what this is about.
Yeah.
That's why it's so precious.
Yeah, rock and roll.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Parvati for just a moment. Who is Parvati?
The wife of Shiva.
She's the wife of Shiva, yeah. So they mention Nandini in the first line and Digambare. And their sportive, playful embrace, trembling embrace.
Is she just a different version of Durga?
Yeah, basically she's like... There, it's all like the aspect of the Ma that is transformative. It's about transformation, and that is linked to Shiva in some way. So, Durga, yeah, she tends to like appear of her own volition, but she still has this connotation with Shiva, like on that, in that part of the triad of the three, the triple goddess and the triad of gods.
But have you Durga emerging as she is,
uh-huh.
is free from that creation.
Yeah.
She's not tied to that at all. Now
right.
She's completely free and independent.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe because of that, that's why they choose to say Parvati in the translation,
mm-hmm.
because they're talking about their embrace and their relationship, right? That is endless. It's continuous. And did you guys know that Parvati was not Shiva's first wife? Yeah.
Well, there's Ganga. He married her before he married Parvati.
And?
And another?
Yeah.
Who?
Sati.
The one who was cut up and spread all over the world.
There you go.
Right?
Yes, she was. She immolated herself.
Yeah.
So... there was a king, Daksha, and his wife, and again, couldn't have kids. That seems to be a very common theme. And they were advised by Brahma to pray to Adi Parashakti, the first Shakti. Adi is first, right? Para is beyond Shakti, right? So she's the original one. And she appears with in her form of a thousand hands holding beautiful glittering weapons, and she's covered in armor and jewels and red saffron sari, and they finish their penance to her, and she says, okay, I'll grant you a child, a daughter, and she will be devoted to you unless you scorn her, unless you in some way insult her. And if you do that, then I'm cutting you off. That's it.
One rule,
that's it. That's all you gotta do. So soon Sati is born. And almost from the beginning, she has this obsession with Shiva. She's like creating little Shiva lingas in the clay as a baby, and you know. And eventually, and she's like just shunning all of the riches and wealth and the fine things that her father Daksha is providing her. She's gorgeous. And all of these suitors are coming from far and wide to try to win her hand. All these rich, you know, wealthy princes and magnificent kings, and she wants nothing to do with them. And her father's really getting quite frustrated with this. Because I mean, he has an idea of how he wants things to go with this daughter, right? He's set in his expectations. But Brahma, little beknownst to Daksha, Brahma, when he originally invoked Adipara Shakti and requested her to do this for him, to grant them the child, he did it with the intention of Sati becoming Shiva's wife. That was the original intention. And Sati had this desire instilled with her from birth. So eventually Sati goes off into the forest, and she starts to eat less and less, and eventually she's eating just one leaf a day. And eventually she doesn't even eat that. She's existing on air. She's also known as Aparna, which means even without a leaf. Right? So this pleases Shiva so much that he appears to her. And he consents to wed her, and she goes, joyfully tells her father, and her father's like, okay, you know, but it's Shiva, so you know, we'll go ahead and do this. And, you know, Shiva's like dreadlocks covered in ashes, walking around naked with maybe a tiger skin thrown around his waist, you know, that's about it. And Daksha's like, this for my daughter? Not happy at all. That the wedding happens, and Shivan and Sati go off to Mount Kailash, and you know, they're an eternal embrace for ages. And finally, Daksha decides he's going to have a big feast and a sacrifice, a yajna. Yeah, and he invites all the gods and goddesses and all the lesser demigods and you know, the apsaras and all of the celestial beings except Shiva and Sati. Because he's pissed. He doesn't, you know. He's disowned her pretty much. And through the grapevine, Sati hears about this great party that's happening and that they're not invited. She begs Shiva to go with her. And Shiva's like, I don't want you to go. And she's like, no, please. And he's like, okay, if you have to go, then I'll send you with some of my retinue, some of my ganas, right? And so she goes, and her father just does nothing but yell and scream at her the whole time. And she finally is so insulted, so frustrated, so dejected by her father's pushing her away and not accepting her for who she is, that she draws her apana up into her prana. Basically, her kundalini rises and she explodes in a ball of fire and immolates herself. And her bones are cut apart and they're scattered in, there's a certain number, and the places where they're scattered are great places of Shakti worship. And Shiva hears about this. And he starts to do Ananda Tandava. He starts to do his Rudra Tandava, his dance of destruction. And the world starts to quake and tremble. Right? And the great giant Vira Badra. We have that word, Virabhadrasana, right? The great warrior. And he goes and he slices off Daksha's head. And Daksha is killed. However, he's so remorseful that Shiva grants him life again. And he's got a thing about sticking other heads on people. Sticks the head of a goat on him. So he walks around for the rest of his life with the head of a goat, but he's happy to be alive, so and devoted to Shiva ever after. And Sati stays in kind of the realm of spirits for a long time until finally she's reincarnated as Parvati, who again, just like her predecessor, is obsessed with Shiva from the very start and makes little Shiva lingas in the mud as a baby. But this time she's born to Himavat, who is the father of the mountains, the father of the Himalayas, who adores Shiva. Because that's her only condition on being reincarnated, is that she's born to a father who will love her and accept her for who she is. And then we'll get into a little bit more about Shiva and Parvati next week. But I'm going to leave you hanging with that. All right. So let's sing these next two lines. And it just goes to show that when you're really kind of tightly tied, invested in a particular outcome for something, it can blow up in your face. Right? Yeah. So better to surrender and allow things to unfold as they will. And then maybe, just maybe, we receive an outcome that's beyond our wildest dreams. Right?
Bye. the mice, I should be melting by now. Namaste.
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 Please, where are you?